So let's go ahead and start with questions. If you have a question for Neil, please raise your hand. First question goes to Jason Quick with The Athletic.
Neil, what traits will you be looking for in a new head coach?
Well, we want to improve on the defensive end of the floor. Strong leadership qualities, someone that's going to hold people accountable on both ends of the floor. Hopefully, somebody with coaching experience that has hit certain benchmarks. I mean, obviously the bar is pretty high. You make the playoffs 8 straight years in a row. You make the Western Conference Finals 2 years ago, and we're looking to improve on that. So it's somebody that we're going to have to feel confident, Jason, that can make an impact when it comes to outcome, not just in the regular season, but in the playoffs as well.
Next question, Aaron Fentress, The Oregonian.
Hey, Neil, can we go back a little bit to the decision involving Terry Stotts? It was called mutual. How did that come about?
Well, come about timing-wise, Aaron, or more what criteria was used to make the decision? What are you more interested in?
Yeah, criteria in terms of why you guys came to this conclusion.
Well, I think we reached a ceiling, with the team. It was not an easy decision. Obviously, you know how I feel about Terry, and multiple people participated in the process. But, we entered the season, and we felt like we needed to show improvement on the defensive end of the floor. We needed to advance in the playoffs. And the decision was pretty much made. I mean, we were 26th in defense prior to Nurk and CJ being injured. We bounced back a little bit after we got Norm, and, we were 21st the rest of the year. And then we were 15th in the playoffs out of 16 first round teams. So we didn't make improvement there. And, we lost in the first round to a team that was missing an all-star point guard and probably 2 of their top 5 players. So we just felt like we'd plateaued, and, we're hoping that, a new coach will make more of an impact when it comes to the outcome in the regular season and the playoffs.
And did Terry express also that he thought maybe he plateaued with this franchise?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was done collaboratively along with Terry and his agent, Warren Legarry. They just kind of felt like Terry had done as much as he could do. And, the timing was such that, we collaborated with them to figure out what the best way, if we made the decision, what way would it best position Terry for one of the potential openings around the league? And they felt like doing it immediately would give him the best opportunity to enter the marketplace and potentially find another franchise.
Okay, thanks.
Orlando Sanchez, KGW.
Hi, Neil. Can you speak to the roster now, what some of your offseason priorities are? There's the potential to be some significant changes within the roster with expiring contracts and potential for free agency.
Right. And Orlando, I can't go into specifics due to league rules, but, I can tell you that, 4 of our 5 starters are under contract long-term or with a year left. So that's encouraging. We made the Norman Powell trade, hoping that he'd be a long-term part of our future. And, the way the league is anymore, quite honestly, other than rookie scale guys, there's just a lot of turnover in players, 8 through 12, 10 through 15. It's just a product of where the league is right now. So, there'll be turnover in the roster. Obviously the coaching change right now is of most immediacy, preparing the owner for our potential candidates, but we're also working concurrently on free agency, trades and roster building in advance of the June 20th Chicago Combine.
Next question, Nick Krepke, Fox 12.
Neil, Dame has gone on record with Quick and with Haynes about guys that he would maybe like to see coach his team. How much discussion does he have? And I guess approval from Dame, do you need from him to go ahead and make this next decision?
Well, look, I mean, in all decisions, first of all, I've always encouraged participation from our players wherever I've been, because they bring a critical lens to any process involving players or coaches that we don't necessarily have. They compete against these guys every night. They're on the floor with them. They talk to other players around the league. And obviously Dame's opinion is very important. You know, if you ask him, I mean, we very rarely make a big free agent decision, very rarely make a trade without his participation and his insight. And that'll be the same thing. You know, we're going to run a broad, expansive search. We've got a lot of exciting candidates that we're looking at, and Dame will play an integral role in that. So, you know, the fact that, you know, Dame publicly, you know, wanted to support different people is that's Dame. I mean, Dame, if you ask Dame a question, he's going to give you an answer, but there are nuances to this process, and it's a more in-depth process than just at first glance who someone likes. We've got to dig deeper into this. We've got to do impact studies and analysis. There's a full interview process that has to go through, from going through me, through the chairman, all the way up to Jody Allen before we're going to make this decision. But in all things, like I said, Damien is an integral part of our decision-making at all times.
AJ McCord, Coin.
So Neil, building off of that, what was the communication like with Dame in the 24 hours after the loss and the decision to part ways with Terry, and then the lease is getting the list getting released of potential candidates?
Okay, so there was no list getting released, AJ. We don't actually have a list yet. I think the only thing that got released was Dame made it, you know, Dame was asked a question by someone that he holds as a friend, who he liked, and he threw a couple of names out that he liked.
So, but, sorry, I meant the like Woj reports to the Dame, to what Chris Haynes put out, those like, what
well,
was
I get it, but those are, I but I, what I'm trying to let you guys know is, let me tell you where we are in the process, because I think it's fair to you guys. We have not reached out to a single candidate yet. Not one. We haven't reached out to a team to express interest or ask for permission. I don't think it's fair to teams when they're in the first round of the playoffs to do that. And until we were able to reach out to the entire candidate list, we weren't reaching out to anyone. So there's going to be internet speculation. There always is, no different than trades, free agency, draft, or anything else. But we don't respond to that. We're going to run our process like we did when we hired Terry. And we're going to get the best coach we can possibly get for the franchise. And like I said, Dame will be a part of that. So, in terms of informing Damien knew before this went public. I had had discussions through Friday with Terry about where he felt we fell short, what we could have done, how comfortable he was in the possibility of maybe returning or not returning. I consulted with Jody Allen and Bert Cold. We sat down with my staff to discuss where we were in terms of the coaching impact on the roster and the ceiling that it's created. And once I informed Terry, the first phone call was to Dame prior to it being made public, so that he would be the first person to know that the decision had been made to make a coaching change.
Sean Hyken, Bleacher Report.
Neil, did Dame, you know, obviously before it went public or before all the stuff kind of went down on Friday, did Dame communicate to you specifically that Jason Kidd was somebody that he wanted? And were you kind of taken a little bit aback when then he went on the record with that? And then also when Jason Kidd pulled himself out of the running, like, is that somebody just from your perspective, like, how did all that go down this weekend?
Well, you know, Sean, it went no differently than it would, like I said, if we're entering free agency, right? I called Dame to let him know we were making a coaching change, kind of told him the model for what we were looking at in terms of profile, you know, the kind of candidates we'd be looking at. And I said, hey, if you have any names, let me know. And he gave me a couple of names. You know, it's unfortunate that it was made public because I think it, you know, it actually didn't serve some of the guys whose names were thrown out there. It certainly didn't serve them well. In the ensuing 48 hours.
Coming back to Jason Quick with The Athletic.
Neil, what kind of feedback have you gotten regarding your job security?
Well, I'm running the coaching search. I have multiple years left on my contract. I think the feeling is that in this instance, Jason, while in the past there might've been questions, the first round loss and the defensive rating at 29 was not a product of the roster. I will tell you that all of us, myself included, serve at the pleasure of Jody Allen, and we will all be here for as long as she sees value in our contribution.
Dwight James, NBC Sports Northwest. Go ahead, Dwight.
All right. Sorry, Jim. I'm wondering if you have a vision of how you'd like to see this team play, Neil, and how it differs from the way it has played, and then how that plays into your coaching search. Would you go after a particular type of coach, or are you just going to find the good coach and let him decide the style of play and how he wants to play?
Yeah, I mean, look, stylistically, I mean, a coach has to be comfortable with the system that he teaches. I think one of the luxuries that a coach is going to have coming in is we had either the first or second best offense in the league the entire year. And even in the playoffs where we underperformed, I mean, I know it's a small sample, we still ranked fourth. So they're going to inherit an elite offensive team. The mission is clear. They need to make, if we're going to take the next step, they're going to have to make an impact on the defensive end of the floor. So that will be a criteria that whether they have benchmarks that they've hit in the past or whether we just have a belief they can make an impact on the defensive performance that we've been looking at. That's going to be a part of it, Dwight. But, you know, style of play, it's really just a matter of, you know, I don't want to get into coverages, whether we want to turn people over more, increase our deflections, trap more, blitz more, be more aggressive on the defensive end, or, you know, be more passive, drop pick and rolls. I don't want to get into specifics like that. But like I said, I think when the coaches interview, they will have to provide a vision as, you know, I think I answer Orlando's question. You know, we've got 80% of our starting lineup under contract and returning absolutely. So at least they know what they're dealing with for the most part in terms of how do they get this group to get to another level on the defensive end of the floor. And that will clearly be critical in anybody advancing in the process is they're going to have to prove they're going to have the ability to do that in much the same way some of the coaching hires from last summer were able to do it without a lot of personnel changes.
AC Holdall, trailblazers.com.
Neil, obviously you're talking about changing coaches as a way to improve, but from a personnel perspective, do you feel like there's things that this team needs and how do you go about acquiring those things, particularly without draft pick this year?
Well, we don't play our draft picks anyway, so I don't know how much the draft pick is going to impact anything.
Fair enough.
But, you know, and that's why we used it last year, you know, for Robert. I mean, you know, we ended up with a guy who finished seventh in the league in on-off rating. You know, for guys that played over 2,000 minutes, Robert Covington was ranked seventh in on-off rating. That's the kind of impact he made because we're trying to win right away, Casey. You know, look, I love the draft. You know, I think we've had some big hits. We've had a couple of misses, but I think if you look at our roster, I think a lot of the impact we've made has been through the draft, but we're in a different phase right now. We're trying to win. It's not easy to win and continue to get better every year, strictly through personnel, because your options are limited. Players make more money. Your draft picks are later. You don't have as much money to spend in free agency. You have guys you value, so you don't necessarily enter the trade market moving pieces as often. But you know, look, we're going to have to continue to find ways to get better. That's what we do. I mean, every year, I think that's, if you look at this year, you know, we entered the draft and instead of drafting 16th, we went out and got Robert. You know, we used our mid-level for a defensive specialist in Derrick Jones Jr. When that wasn't working at the level we hoped, we went and got Norman Powell at the trade deadline, who finished as our second best defender on the roster in terms of net rating behind only Nurk. So, you know, it's an evolving process. It's always fluid. We want the coaching staff to make an impact, but obviously there's an obligation on our end to continue to build the roster and help it grow. And the fact that maybe we're limited in terms of avenues we can follow because of salary commitments or, you know, or lack of draft picks just makes it a little bit more challenging.
For the defense being ranked so low. And then as far as your roster goes, how do you like it going forward?
Well, look, defensively, I'm not going to get into strategy, but it's not acceptable. You know, at 29, you're finishing below teams that were literally in rebuilds and teams that maybe weren't the most motivated to compete late in the year. So that was completely unacceptable. And I think part of it is a culture that where we have benefited from the offensive culture by having a top three offense. We've also been a victim of the defensive culture, and that's got to change. It's a mindset as much as it is coverages. I think if you look around the league, teams that made big jumps on the defensive end were led in part by coaches where the players knew from day one they were going to have to defend and be held accountable on that end of the floor because that's what the coach valued. So while as elite as we were on the offensive end and as empowering as Terry was there, we didn't necessarily go into every game where players felt like they were going to be judged by their defensive impact. Mm-hmm. How I feel about the roster is, I feel good about the foundation of the roster, and clearly we need to continue to find upgrades, whether it's in the starting lineup, whether it's in the bench, whether it's in terms of depth, you know, all that, you know, like I said, that's what we work on every offseason. And, you know, like I said, I thought we had a very successful offseason this year, adding Robert, adding Derek, you know, getting Ennis back, secured some of our rebounding deficiencies. And when we identified that we still weren't where we wanted to be, you know, we went and we moved a very good young player that we had drafted in the second round to go get Norman Powell because we felt like he would be more of an immediate impact because he had played in big playoff games, won a championship, and at the time was probably one of the more efficient perimeter players in the league. So, you know, it's an evolving process, and every year we're going to find ways to get better, whether we're limited in terms of cap room or draft picks or we're not.
Got it. Thank you.
Coming back to Aaron Fentress, the Oregonian.
So clearly you believe a coach that can improve the defense can help get you guys on the right track. But do you think the roster is good enough to contend even with that coach? Or do you feel the need to make some kind of major move this offseason more so than ever?
Well, we're always going to try and get better, Aaron. You know, look, this is not – why don't we just cut to the shorthand, guys? The guys that the narrative that's out there about second stars and why we don't go get this star and that star is these are opportunities, and you've got to avail yourselves of opportunities at all times to upgrade your roster. If that's in terms of an aggregation trade to go get one of the kind of players you guys keep alluding to in the media, and that makes us better, we will be all in on that process. To date, that opportunity hasn't arisen. And I think if you look around the league, the kind of players you guys are alluding to, unless I'm mistaken, in every instance, those players predetermined a destination where they wanted to go, or they partnered up with an existing player in that market that they wanted to join. So we are not sitting on our hands. We've pursued every opportunity to get better. Like I said, if it's three guys for one that make us better, we would look at that. If it's one guy for three, we would look at that. Every chance we get to continue to build this roster to compete for a championship, we're going to do. And there are multiple avenues. There's the roster. There's the culture. And one of the elements is on the coaching front. And like I said, right now, that is something we control. We don't control whether or not a superstar player wants to come to Portland or not, or whether we have the pieces to get a deal done for that level player. But right now we do control one element where we think we can find someone that can make more of an impact with the current group, with improvements coming in the off season to get us to the level we expect to be at as we continue on this path until one of those opportunities presents itself.
Is there any scenario in the near term where if you can't improve the roster enough to become a contender where Damian, who's about to turn 31, wants out and you feel it's best to maybe trade him and start over?
I'm not answering that, Aaron.
Okay.
AJ McCord, Coin.
Hey, Neil, so you just mentioned sort of that it's with the players that, you know, those big name free agents, they either predetermined where they wanted to go or they decided to team up with somebody, an existing team. What do you think is the key to making Portland more of a space where those players predetermined they want to come or wanting to team up with someone like Dame?
Well, I think the way you do it is you continue to win. I think one of the things that's getting lost in this is we've made the playoffs 8 years in a row. We've advanced to the second round twice. We've been to the conference finals. We're one of the winningest small market organizations in the league over the last 9 years. So players want to go where they can win. The other factors do factor in. I mean, I think from a free agent standpoint, AJ, I think we have to be realistic that in a free agent market, that's different. Usually market beats team in those instances. And in order to try to win, you're not going to have cap room. You can't have the luxury of putting a team on the floor that's going to make the playoffs every year, potentially compete to advance in the playoffs as we did 2 years ago to the Western Conference Finals, and then also think you're going to have $45 million in cap room. It's just not realistic. Because player retention is really important in Portland. So I think it's more viable to talk about trades. And like I said, we will generate any trade we possibly can. We'll avail ourselves of opportunities to improve the roster. To date, the trades we've been able to make have been for high impact players. Robert Covington, Yusuf Nurkic, Norman Powell. I go back to some other moves. That's what was available at that point based on the asset pool we had available to us at that time. We'll continue to try and grow and build assets. So if an opportunity came up where a player was on the market and available and wasn't predetermining his destination, we can compete in terms of what assets we can convey to bring them to Portland.
Sean Hyken, Bleacher Report.
Neil, you've been pretty adamant in past years that breaking up Dame and CJ was something you weren't considering at all. Is that still your stance, or are you just kind of looking at everything right now?
Sean, you've been here a while. Like, has anything we've ever done gotten out in public before it happened with trades or free agency? Or, you know, we don't discuss our players in a public forum. It's not fair to them. It's not what we do here. These people are human beings that have committed to our franchise. But we also understand that, look, this is a business, as evidenced by the fact that we just moved away from a guy I really care about, who I thought did an outstanding job for the better part of the last decade. We're going to look to make our team better. Nothing is ever off the table if it advances us closer to a championship. But I'm not going to start bandying names about because people in the media think that there's some predetermined resistance to making a trade.
Orlando Sanchez, KGW.
Right after the Game 6 loss, Yusuf Nurkic had mentioned how unhappy he was. Has whatever that issue was, has that been resolved?
Well, I think I need you to be more specific, Orlando. I mean, you heard his comments. I didn't. Unhappy about what?
About his role and, you know, questioned how much he wanted to be in Portland moving forward.
He did?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that was his exact words.
Okay, moving on. Aaron Petras.
I mean, I'll answer it, but my understanding was it wasn't that. He was not happy. And like, I would like to think, guys, nobody was happy. Nobody should have been happy. We lost as a favorite in game six with a 14-point lead late in the third quarter. I think one of the things that I think Nurk was probably, again, and I'm speculating, upset about was the fact that, you know, the way that we tried to play, which was shared with the media after our game one victory, basically left Nurk vulnerable. You know, on one end of the floor, he had to, you know, defend Jokic straight up, which I don't know that anybody in the league can do that. And, you know, it made him vulnerable. He gave up a lot of points. He was vulnerable to foul trouble. And I think Nurk probably felt like he should have gotten a higher usage on the other end of the floor so that he could go at Nikola the way Nikola was going at him. So I think from that perspective, you know, I'd like to think he wasn't happy. I don't think anybody was happy with the way that the series ended. And I think that's on an individual basis as well as a team basis. I also think he was probably alluding to his non-guaranteed contract status. He's only guaranteed $4 million of his $12 million salary next year. And look, that was a negotiating position that was brought into play when we redid his, we negotiated his deal as a restricted free agent 4 years ago. And like I said, that's players sign contracts and then, you know, you have to live with the consequences years later, no different than a team. So I'm sure he was alluding to that as well.
Got time for a couple more. Aaron Fentress, the Oregonian.
Hey, Neil. clearly it sounds like you like the roster as is, but you would obviously make moves. But do you feel good about the three guard lineup moving forward as a contending lineup, basically, with three smaller guards out there? If you bring back Powell?
I do. I do think at some point Dame's going to get a little frustrated with you guys talking about three small guards, because he's not small for a point guard. Damian Lillard's not a small point guard.
Well, he's not small, but
Trae Young is a small point guard.
I understand. You have three guards.
Three guards. I get it, Aaron. I'm just giving you grief.
I mean,
Dame keeps getting looped in like we have three small guards. By position, Dame is not small.
Okay. So your point guard's the proper size. The other two positions are not.
Right. And, you know, and we still, we still finished with the number one offense in the league with that three guard lineup post the Norman Powell trade. We only finished 21st in defense. I think there's room for improvement there. But the key is, instead of playing inside the box, the key is how do we put the five best players on the floor that give us a chance to compete? If those five players happen to be three guards, a four and a five, then that's what we're going to need to do. You know, there's times, you know, Aaron, you just don't have the luxury to just do this by paint by numbers. You know, I mean, ideally we would all have a 6'3 point guard, a 6'6'2, a 6'9'3, you know, a 6'10'4 and a 7'1 center. But, you know, that's not the reality of roster building at this point. So I'm encouraged by the fact that we had the most dynamic offense in the league from when CJ and Nurk came back and Norman joined our group. I'm encouraged by the fact that I think we'll be able to make more of an impact defensively. I do think that our bench this year gave me a window into knowing we have to have more impact defenders coming off our bench as opposed to just more scorers. But like I said, I think the idea is to be a threat where you can compete every night and be a handful for another team. You know, we talked about, you know, the small lineup, but honestly, we just lost to a small lineup. There were times when, you know, they had three small guards out there as well, and we were vulnerable to that. So, like I said, it's not a philosophy so much as how do you continue to upgrade the roster? And in most trades, it's, you know, after the trade, did we get better? And I think after the Norman Powell trade, we got better, and we did. We moved from sixth in offense to first. We got better defensively. He was our, you know, so even though he might be smaller as a quote-unquote three, he was also our second best defensive net rating player.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, last question. Chris DeSaltis, Sport DNA.
Long story, thank you very much for your time. My question to you is, how you see the growth of the young players, Anfernee, Nasir, and what is your vision about next season, not only about those young players, but also for the whole team?
Well, I think we were all encouraged by, you know, when Anfernee got the opportunity, you know, finally to get consistent minutes. He shot 61% in the playoffs, and he was our leading three-point shooter throughout the regular season. So that's encouraging. He's really coming into his own as a player. And look, I think as we saw in Denver in that series, players need opportunities. And when talent meets opportunity, you get production. And I think we saw that with Anfernee. I think his game still has a long way to go in terms of growth and development. He's still a young player, but he's got the one critical element right now for a perimeter player in our league, which is he is an elite shooter, whether it's off the catch or off the dribble. He will continue to grow in his decision-making. His defense got markedly better throughout the regular season and the playoffs, which was a big growth area for him to becoming a, you know, a potential starter at some point, but at minimum, a heavy minute rotation player for us. And, you know, I think we all saw the flashes of talent that Nasir Little has. You know, I think Terry went with a shorter, more playoff style 8-man rotation, which eliminated Nasir from the rotation, which was fine. We won 10 of our last 12 and anticipated winning in the first round of the playoffs and came up short. But I think we've seen his improvement with his ball handling, his shot making. He's learning the game defensively, how to read and react. And he's going to be a really good player for us going forward. So I think those two guys, you know, give us a lot of hope and encouragement about backfilling the roster with some youth and talent. You know, ideally, we'd have a few more really talented young guys. But, you know, as we talked about earlier in the call, we prioritized immediate help. by going out and getting Robert. So we traded our first last year. We traded our first this year. So you'll have to find more creative ways to add young players through the two-way system, or, you know, trading into this draft for second round picks, as we've done in the past with guys like Gary Trent, Jake Layman, Alan Crabb, and try to find some diamonds in the rough that way that we can start building our infrastructure with, without sacrificing high impact caliber players in the starting lineup and in the rotation.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up there, Neil. Thank you. Thanks, everybody, and have a great week.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah, go ahead.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to, if you guys don't all mind, give you an idea of timeline on the coaching search and process, if everybody on the call has a second.
Yeah, no problem. Go right ahead. Okay.
So where we are, guys, as I had said when AJ asked her question, is this only happened late Friday night. Obviously, rumors move fast, but process moves slow. So we spent the weekend, what we're doing is providing a reference guide for our owner to provide her with reference material and a shorthand on our candidate list. That will be more expansive. We're running a very expansive, diverse search. We'll probably have anywhere from 20 to 25 candidates in there with biographical data, background, intel, impact studies, coaching records, playing records, et cetera, so that we all are speaking the same language as we vet these candidates. As I said, I have not reached out to any teams or agents to request permission to conduct formal interviews until we've had a chance to review all those materials. Our chairperson will get that later today when they feel comfortable, like they've digested all of that information and feel comfortable making a recommendation on who we should move forward with. We'll start setting up interviews, which I'll conduct probably by remote. We'll do the first round in the coming days and the next week and a half, 2 weeks or so, based on people's availability. And hopefully we'll narrow the scope down from there to get to Jody. So we'll probably start filtering this down from 20 to 25 to a more manageable number for initial interviews. And then once we've gotten through that part of the process, we'll look to present Jody with a few candidates that we feel really comfortable with, that we've reached a point where we're comfortable with all of them. We'll solicit, you know, Dame's opinion on that, other players if they have insight, my front office, contacts around the league, any other information we can gather for these candidates. And like I said, the eventual decision will be our group and our organization led by Jody Allen.
Okay, great. Thanks, Neil.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it.